Humble Holy Spirit, you are the river that makes glad the city of God. Wash us afresh today, enfold us again in the wonderful, mystical, triune communion you eternally share with the Father and the Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Good epiphany to you. The worship committee had not planned terribly well, or we wouldn't have worked Daniel to death this morning. Jim, I don't think, knew that I'd assigned a scripture reading, and I didn't know that he was assigning a song.
Actually, so, we probably would have worked him to death.
Yeah. Thanks, Daniel. The Epiphany is not necessarily a feast that I grew up knowing much about. In fact, I became aware of the word in more of its secular usage rather than worship usage, liturgical usage, much earlier in my life. But I've learned in studying the Epiphany and learning about the Epiphany that it's a very rich feast indeed, and one so full of meaning. It means a disclosure, a revealing, a showing forth, a manifestation, and just a wonderful, rich concept. There are three events that are sort of brought together and celebrated in the Feast of the Epiphany. And I'm going to touch very quickly on the first two, and we're going to concentrate on the star today. O brillante estrella, a beautiful, bright, shining star, lovely eastern star. But the first one is the miracle at Cana that is celebrated at Epiphany, Jesus' first miracle where he turns water into wine. Interestingly enough, the Eastern writer Epiphanius wrote in the 4th century that the miracle of water becoming wine continued to occur from time to time on the Feast of the Epiphany, and Epiphanius claimed to have tasted that wine himself, so that the miracle actually occurred again and again. The baptism of Jesus is the other event that's focused on in the Epiphany, and we'll talk about that some on Monday, and I really do want us to focus on baptism, especially because of what we've read in the book, The Divine Embrace, about living in our baptism, remembering our baptism, living in it. And Jesus models that for us at the very beginning of his ministry. So the baptism of Jesus is also celebrated. But also the star. And before I talk about the star for a minute or two, I want to mention the verse of scripture that I became aware of, I think, in the 80s, where it really grabbed hold of me, Isaiah 49:6. And what the Epiphany is all about is the revelation of Jesus, not just to his own chosen people, not just to Israel, but beyond those confines to the whole world, to all the Gentiles, all the tribes of the earth. Isaiah foretold it so long ago in chapter 49. It's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And so we look at these three things, these going public sorts of things, if you will, to remember that Jesus' revelation is not just to his own chosen ones, but to everyone. It's for everybody. It's the ultimate inclusivity. It's for everyone. All the tribes, every one of us, big or small, important, unimportant, smart, not so bright, whatever. It's for everybody. They are all going public events, a first miracle. Imagine the stir that made. And I love it for the fact that it was turning water into wine. I mean, he could have done something that looked more religious or more holy, But he does something very simple and earthy, meeting the needs of a party. In fact, I've frequently said that there are three groups of people that these events sort of appeal to. The miracle at Cana appears to more earthy instincts of us. It satisfies our palate, a pleasure, an earthly pleasure, if you will. Detractors of that group might refer to them as party animals. The epiphany is for everybody, including party animals. The baptism of Jesus, that might refer to, may appeal to the more serious, thoughtful religious types. Their detractors might call them religious fanatics. But imagine who were the kind of people that were going out there by the river to watch this very bizarre figure of a prophet baptize in the river. I might have been among them during one of my religious fanatic phases. I could easily imagine that. The epiphany is for those of us who are religious fanatics, the very, very serious ones, the very, very thoughtful ones. But the star, the thing that's so significant about O Brillante Estrella, is that it shone and was recognized by Gentiles, by people who were not followers of the way necessarily, of the law. They were not in the lineage of the chosen people. They were foreigners. They were strangers, spoke a different language, had an entirely different set of cultural predispositions. But the star shone for them, and they had the good sense to follow it, to notice it and to follow it. We got to go to the Nashville Symphony this year. Nashville Symphony and Nashville Opera joined together in our new Skemmerhorn Center, beautiful facility to hear music, and they did a beautiful performance of A Mall and the Night Visitors. Does anybody know that work? Yeah, just fabulous. And of course, it's following the story of the Magi on their journey to the birth, and just a lovely thing. But the thing that is so captures my heart. I love the humor in it. I love a lot of the gorgeous music in it. The earthiness again of the story and the people in the story, but in that you have the small cripple boy, and his only possession, his prized possession, is his crutch that he uses to walk with, that he made with his own hands. And when he hears about the birth of this king who's going to bring peace and bring justice to the whole earth, he gives the Magi all that he has, the thing that helps him walk, that gets him through a day, a thing that he lovingly made with his own hands while watching the sheep. And as he gives the crutch for the Magi to take to the Christ child, to this wonderful king who's been born, the miraculous occurs, and his leg is healed, and the little boy can walk. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom breaks in on his life. And I just wonder, on that journey of the Magi, how many times the miraculous might have broken in. I wonder how many stories of a mall there might have been on their journey. Just like Epiphanius claiming that water got turned into wine more than one time. But let's think about the star for just a minute. What is a star? I'm not much of a science guy, but best as I understand it, a star is kind of a big ball of fire hanging up there in the sky. Big ball of fire. And of course, that reminded me of where we started a couple of mornings ago with the burning bush. Moses seeing that burning bush that was on fire, it was ablaze, but it wasn't consumed. Remember, we talked about the uniqueness of that fire? Self-controlled fire, consuming fire that could consume everything, and yet it consumes what it knows should be consumed, and he doesn't consume that which he's seeking to refine and to purge. I wonder if Moses, having seen that fire in that bush, prepared him for when he saw the pillar of fire that was going to guide the children of Israel in their journey. He recognized it. He knew not to be afraid of it. No, that fire is not safe, but he's good. Come on, let's follow him. He's showing us the way. And because he had come close and taken off his shoes on that holy ground and seen he knew to trust that fire where it would lead him. Of course, eventually, that fire shows up again on the day of Pentecost. And this time, not just to one person, and this time not just to guide the whole, but showing up over each one in the whole individually. A self-controlled fire. That fire, that consuming fire that's so ultimately good, he just wants to consume our dross, our waste matter, our refuse of our souls, and refine our gold. And then, as that happens in us, what happens? Isaiah's old vision begins to come true. It's too small a thing just for one tribe of the earth. It's for everybody. It's for every tribe. It's for every person. Mm-hmm. It's for all of us. When I quoted the song the other day about the 1,000 burning bushes, Jim Dodge, IWS student, came up to me and said, "Have you heard the Elizabeth Barrett Browning quote that deals with this?" And I said, "No, I didn't." He was kind enough to copy it down for me. "All of earth is crammed with heaven, crammed with heaven, and every common bush ablaze with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. The rest of us just sit around it and pluck blackberries." I thought it was especially poignant in the age of the handheld blackberry. Blackberries are good. I like eating blackberries. But the fire has come. The star is shining. He has come to each of us. Let's take off our shoes and receive him.